Hey everybody, it's Angela Bell, and we are going to continue with the fall series of the Mood Board podcast. I'll be honest, there was a part of me that was like, can I really get another episode up this week? This is also week 8 of the One Room Challenge, and I feel like I had been working nonstop since the weekend, and I'm excited though. The photographer arrives this Friday, and my daughter's tween room is going to be done, and she's going to love it. And it's going to be just in time for the holidays for her to really enjoy her new room and give us also some sanity back in the house. But it's so interesting, when I was going back and forth about publishing this, I actually sat down, I listened to my conversation with Hema, and it definitely gave me the Monday motivation I needed. So let me fill you in on who she is. She is the CEO and principal designer of Sagrada Studios. Her name is Hema Prasad. She has done celebrity interior design for such people as Jay Shetty and Perna Jagannathan from Never Have I Ever. She's had her work featured in Architectural Digest. And the crazy thing is that Hema's only been in business for a few years. But when you look at her portfolio, the breadth, the level of texture and mixture, and I'll be honest, she has been in the styling industry. She has been a former lawyer. So she's definitely lived a lot of different lives, and I can really see all of it coming together in her next phase with interior design. So I thought it'd be an excellent conversation. I think, again, like I'm telling everybody, I'm thinking about conversations. You may be thinking about your journey for 2024. Where do you want to be? Are you ready for a career change? Are you thinking about a different path? I think Hema and I have this really great conversation where she talks about really following your gut and really moving on when something really just doesn't serve you anymore. I won't take too much away from the conversation, but on that note, let's start the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm excited. We are in our fall series, and I'm so excited today to have Hema here today from Sagrada Studios. We are going to be digging into all of the incredible celebrity interior designs that she's been doing, her feature in Architectural Digest, and just trying to figure out, how does she do it all? I will let people know, I mean, before we even got into their interview, we were already into it. But I wanted to stop so you guys can hear the good stuff and learn from it too. So Hema, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I always like to do this, you know, just to jump off for first time listeners. How would you describe Sagrada Studios, and what can clients expect from you?
Our design philosophy is threefold. We like to create designs that have a layer of culture, richness, and we're always curious about how international lifestyles interact with American lifestyles. So that's sort of our aesthetic and where we approach our design philosophy from. Obviously, it all revolves around how our clients need to function. And so when we meet with clients for the first time, the conversation is not really about design. It starts around how you want to live in this space when it's over. Because I don't think we're doing our job if we leave them with a beautiful space that doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or feels beautiful. I actually was working with a client, and like I had set her table for her for guests. Yeah. And then she like told me, she was like, so for 3 days later, we weren't sure if we could touch the table. And I'm like, oh my God, it's your house. I'm like, no, I was just saying for your friends. But I'm like, right, we needed to talk about that. Like, this was just that. And then you go back to normal.
And at the end of the day, like, what are you hiring a designer for? Like, if they're not helping you, like, live your best life in the most authentic way. And so that's another core pillar of our studio, is authenticity and what it means for you. We don't really care about trends or what is the newest, coolest thing. Mm-hmm. For us, it's about you and your family, or your, if it's a workspace or whatever, your clients, how your space needs to look for you, what it means to you, and how it needs to work for whoever's using it.
I love that. So let's talk about this. I know, you know, first when you, I mean, one, you have not been in business for a long time, but you've been very successful in a short amount of time. And so I know that you originally had started the business with your name and then changed it to Sagrada Studios. What was the reason behind that? Why does the word Sagrada mean to you?
I had So the word Sagrada means sacred. And it took me a while to, you know, when you start, like our first year in business, I was just working. I thought that, you know, the interior design thing was going to be like a temporary thing. My client asked me to decorate her house. And I was like, cool, that was fun. Moving on. And then the jobs kept coming. And so after the first year, I didn't have a name for the business. It was just me. Gotcha. And I started towards the end of that first year realizing like, oh, there's an opportunity here. So what does it mean to like market? I have no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of things I tried to hone in on. Number one was our aesthetic, because I have learned that when you, I used to think you need to speak to everybody with your design and appeal to the most number of people, but I think that's wrong. I think that the best thing you can do for your business is to create a very specific aesthetic that people seek you out for, because then you become the expert and then you can charge more money for it.
Yeah. Well, right. Because you're like, this is what I'm known for.
And this is what we're known for. This is what we do. And people know what they're going to get when they come to you and they know you're going to deliver. And so that evolved into this, like I said, cultural layered sort of interaction between international and American lifestyles, because like, that is who I am. I'm a first generation, you know, child of immigrants. And like, that's just been my lived experience since mm-hmm. I was a child mm-hmm. is integrating all these areas in my life. So people ask how I do it. And I'm like, I don't know how I do it, 'cause it's just how I think, you know, truly there's no strategy. It's like, this feels good.
Right. It's the gut feeling. You're like, this is right. This is, and I agree, that is anyone who gets an interior design, after a while, you really have to go with your gut.
You do. And so that's where the name came from, actually, because I realized the direction our designs were heading in just by way of what I naturally gravitated towards and what people were seeking me out for, which was that infusion of like how we live in America, but like with our cultural, you know, viewpoint injected. And so I knew the name had to be something that indicated that. And I didn't think an English word would do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started sort of looking for words that felt good in other languages. And like, you know, the word sacred came up and I looked at what that meant in other languages. And so that's how I came up with Sagrada, because our core mission is to really honor the spaces that people live, work, create in. I think those are the most sacred spaces on earth, and we should design them with intention.
So let's talk about this, because I think a lot of us who own homes, we're all trying to figure out like, how can we build something that's also like our office as you're like getting off the ground.
Yeah.
And you built your headquarters in your garage, and it looks, I mean, you guys, I'll have photos, but it looks nothing like a garage anymore. So how did that whole journey go for you?
So I thought I was building a styling studio. So this is in the pandemic. We had moved into the house right before the pandemic hit. And we had this big 500 square foot garage. It had no floors. It had no electricity. It was a literal garage. Mm. And when I started styling again, I started keeping things in here. My poor assistant at the time would be in this hot garage sorting clothes. And I was like, you know what? We should fix this up, because in LA, especially, you're always looking to maximize all your space. Like we live in a city, we don't have a ton of space. And so here we have this empty garage full of crap with potential. So I did the design thinking this was going to be my styling studio. I would have rolling racks and fittings and, you know, things like that. And my friend had just graduated from interior design school, the UCLA Extension program. And so I had her do drawings. I had a contractor I already worked with on our main house. Mm. And so we built it thinking like with big open space and a lot of shelves, thinking, okay, all the accessories, the shoes, whatever are going to go here. And that quickly flipped to interiors, and it worked out perfectly. It's kind of the same. We have all the storage, we have all the surface space, we have open space in case any larger items need to come in and out.
Yeah.
So it's quite comfortable. There's a closet for samples. Like it all worked. Just not for the purpose I originally intended.
And it does have to come together quickly. I will say, over the past year, I've been trying to like, I'm trying to figure out, can I make a sunroom office? Because the samples become a little bit aggressive.
Yeah.
Like we have a sofa in my basement. We have two dining tables. We have a couple of light fixtures, some desks.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're like, this doesn't work anymore.
No. And we actually also ended up getting a storage unit nearby, so that helps. But like the studio itself, has really worked because we can lay things out and look at them. And actually one of our design assistants was in here yesterday organizing samples. Like, I don't know what the universe was doing, but it was kind of like ready for what I needed it to be ready for when we finished.
You know, you went from being a celebrity stylist to then shifting into interior design. And not only are you doing interior design, you're doing it at a very high level. You were featured in Architectural Digest after working on the home for the mother in the show Never Have I Ever on Netflix. I freaking love that show. I'm devastated it's over.
Yeah.
And it's Purna Jeganathan, you know, in Culver City. What is it like designing for celebrity at such a high level when you're building your business?
You know, it's interesting working with celebrities. Everybody thinks they have like unlimited budgets and like, you know, everybody has a budget. It may be higher or lower, but like everybody has a budget. And so respecting that is very important. What I love about working with celebrities is they don't think like normal people in the sense that they're not afraid. They're already out there. Mm. They're very brave. Every celebrity I've ever worked with has been very, very brave about their design choices. Mm. So, and they do tend to have larger budgets. And so you can do some more adventurous things, but it's not just like, oh, this expensive home. It's like, they're willing to really go there with design. And so that is the exciting part about working with celebrities. They never want what everyone else has.
Right. Right. Which is also the fun and challenging part.
That's the challenging part too, because there's a lot of back and forth. Definitely.
Like, I want that thing, but I also want that thing that nobody's ever seen before.
Yeah. And so there's balancing that, but I had 7 years of dealing with them in a styling capacity to kind of hone that skill where you sort of have to do a lot of listening and then figure out how to give them what it is that they're imagining, but like even better. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, make them feel like it's a very big thing. Cause I think maybe a lot of celebrities experience that people are always trying to get something from them or that people think that they have all this money and just kind of like, don't consider or, you know, budgets.
The person,
and so I always try to, like make them feel like I do see them as a person and I do understand that like there is a budget here that we need to respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about this too, because you also got to do the podcast studio for Jay Shetty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a cool opportunity too. What was that like?
Well, I was Jay's stylist for a year. Hmm. And so that's how that came up. He was one of my very first like interior design clients. And I think that is because I had established trust with him and his wife through styling, you know, and like creatively we sort of understood each other. And Jay, same way, you know, it was a question of like, we started in one direction and then I kind of tried to understand how we wanted to make his guests feel because the initial inspiration he sent me was very light and bright. And then he said, well, I want my guests to feel cozy in this intimate space, like they can open up to me.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, well, then to me, that sounds like dark and moody. And so I showed him an inspiration picture and he responded to that immediately. It was like dark walls and stuff. Jay is a very collaborative, creative person. And so there was a lot more creative back and forth with him because he really loves design and art and things like that. So it was more so than a lot of my other clients. Like he has a lot of creative input and ideas. And my job is always to like implement that, but in the right context, you know?
Yeah. Balance it with the overall vision.
And the actual space we're working with, like he might show me a castle in Versailles and I'd be like, so how does this work in your, in your bedroom? You know, like that's kind of the language that we have to speak with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. My mom's kicking off spring and summer series all around the stories of home renovations, and boxes are stacked up all around the living room. This podcast has listeners in over 13 countries and almost has 10,000 listens. So thank you for actually clicking on this podcast, and make sure to share it with all your friends and family. Okay, Mom, I'm done now.
So let's talk a little bit about this. How do you feel like you've been able to successfully navigate in the interior design industry as a woman of color? There are so few represented at your such a high level.
I wish there were more. I think that, again, it's about being my authentic self, because I noticed very quickly the projects like my house, my studio, Purna's house, the projects where I put the most of myself and that effortless, like what comes naturally to me type of design, are the projects that do the best publicly in terms of media and getting clients. And so I really tried to lean into that and lean away from, like, you know, the safe stuff or what you see, what a lot of the, you know, non people of color do. I think I had to lean really hard into being myself and like elevate that, you know, and what does the, it's like, what does the expensive, like high-end version or whatever of our that look like, and lean into that. I think it's really hard because I went to LCDQ. I don't know if you know what LCDQ is. For the first time this year. And I was like, wow, everyone, like 80% of the people know each other and 80% of the people look like each other. You know, they, there's this stereotype of interior designers that is there for a reason. Like it's, they all kind of look like this white woman with, you know, blonde or brown hair, and she's maybe in her 40s or 50s. Like there were so many groups of women like this who all clearly knew each other, and I didn't really know anybody. I managed to meet some new people of color, and that was really fun. But that was the first time I was in the community at large, or like a large group of the community, that plus Vegas Market, which I went to for the first time last year. And it really is like a very specific type of person who has done interior design up until now.
I mean, I live in Connecticut, so I feel like I'm like in the birthplace of it.
You are. Oh my God, you really are.
But I learn a lot. Like I think like now, as I've like been building my business, I'm trying to lean more into my authentic self, because I go, I can very clearly now look at my portfolio and say, but I don't do any of this. Right. So if someone's hiring me and you live in Connecticut, you want me because you don't want that. And so that's kind of like, I think one of the things that does help you, you kind of hone in your skills.
And I think people are afraid to do that because they're like, oh my God, but I'm going to miss out on business. But the reality is like the population is changing. My husband and I were just talking about this at dinner the other night, like how the population is changing and expected to change by 2030. And more people I've found are out there looking to work with people who get them. And, and a lot of us, people of color, are very tired of sort of feeling like we have to assimilate to this world that we were sort of dropped into by our immigrant parents or whatever, or a world that is not created for us. Like, I think a lot of people are kind of getting tired of it and looking for look that they're going for.
And I think also just looking for interiors that, like you said, too, that reflect their culture. Like, I feel like that's a really big thing. Like, I always try to tell people in interior design, I'm like, everybody owns homes. Everybody wants this good design. I'm like, the problem is the people that we hire and that we run in the industry all look one way. And I'm like, that's just not sustainable, especially with things becoming more brown as we move into 2030. It's just, it's not realistic. It's a poor business plan.
It
for
is
the future of the industry.
It is. And I think it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. That's true too.
One of the things I love most about being part of the interior design community is how welcoming and supportive it is. That didn't really exist in fashion. Fashion tends to be a lot more competitive, and everybody's like sort of competing for the same jobs. But what I love about this industry is there's lots of avenues for success. And so everybody is in their own lane, doing their thing, serving their clients. Like, it's really been a great experience for me.
I totally agree. So let's talk about this. You have had multiple careers over the years. You have been an attorney, you've been a celebrity fashion stylist, and now a celebrity interior designer. How do you feel like you keep really reinventing yourself? And is there any sort of common thread that you feel like you hold on to as you continue to jump into different career paths?
Yeah. The common thread is I don't ignore my instinct. And so when I wanted to stop being an attorney, it was the same feeling I was getting when I was starting to not want to be a stylist anymore. And it's this feeling of like not seeing a future for myself, and looking down the road and being like, what does this career look like for me in the next few years? Like if that vision disappears for me, then I'm like, I think it's time to think about something else. And just, there's this feeling I get inside too, where it's like, if I'm not feeling curious and fulfilled, then I need to do something about it. I don't just settle in.
No, which I think is interesting, because a lot of people settle and they say, well, this is being an attorney, you know, it's a great job. It's a great career, you know, but it wasn't serving you anymore.
No, I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, the money was great, sure. But I knew that that's not the only way to make money. And, you know, same with styling. I tend to look at like the future, like scalability. Styling is not really scalable because it requires you to physically do things. And so I didn't look for interior design. That actually never crossed my mind. That found me, but I allowed it to find me by just saying yes when someone asked me to do something. Because that, you know, that first project that came along from one of my clients, I'd never done interior design for someone else before, but I was kind of intrigued. I was a little nervous that I wouldn't do a good job, but I was also like curious and a little excited. And so that's what I look for when I'm saying yes to opportunities. Like, yeah, it's going to feel like you're getting in over your head and you should be a little scared, but you should be curious and a little excited, you know?
Right. Also, the fear is good. I always tell people, I feel like my worst projects are the ones where I'm like super confident. Cause I'm like, I did not feel anything. I was like, I've got this.
Yeah. Like, and then the client comes back and they're like, we hate it. And you're like, oh, really?
I'm like, I got too confident.
Yeah.
No fearing.
It's so true.
Before we end our interview, I would love to know, you know, you're in your second year of business and we talked about really visualizing your future. What do you feel like's next for you and your team?
Our team has grown to a good place, I think. So what we'd like to do is scale up the size of our projects and but I still want Sagrada to be like more of a boutique type of studio. I don't envision us being like, you know, the type of studio that has like 30 projects and like 20 employees. Like I love being involved. And I think when the design studio gets so large, you can't, because you're managing people all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's the goal in terms of the design studio. And then we'd like to explore licensing. So there is a collaboration coming out in the fall that I'm very excited about. And we hope to do more of that, because I really love seeing our aesthetic on products and things out there. And so we are working on licensing and maybe something on TV.
We'll see. I mean, it would make sense in LA.
Yeah.
Think also what's great about the licensing and the opportunity for you to be on TV, one, because you're extremely charismatic, you're gifted, but it's also for people like me, we're in Connecticut and we can't see you all the time. That's a great way for people to get access to all of your wonderful work.
I think so. And I think that the world, like we've been talking about, is ready for a new perspective, especially in products and on TV. I mean, I am always on my social media ranting about what I see on design television or what I don't see, you know. Every so often I'll just be like, oh, this is boring. You know, like I'll just put it out there because it is the same things you're seeing over and over by and large. And so I think that the world is kind of ready for something
new
different.
Content.
Yes.
It is time.
And I think the world is ready to walk into Target and see some more options. Like my friend Justina Blakeney, what she's done with Junglo is incredible. I don't want to walk in and only see Junglo as a different perspective.
Like I love, and I know Hilton's been on my show, I love Hilton Carter's Planters. And I'm like, Target, why does he keep getting a limited edition? Why can't he just have a whole planter section? Because every time I go, they are gone.
And I'm like, just sign that. Just make that a bigger project.
Yeah. But I mean, I think people want to know where they can find these things. Like, they don't just want to look at our website and be like, look at all these nice vintage items. Where is she finding those things? Like, that's not fair, you know?
Right. And again, it's just another way for people to get more of like your design at just like all these different levels. There's just a lot of opportunity in the industry right now. So I'm excited for all of this that's on the horizon for you.
Me too. And you know, what happens, what doesn't happen, we just approach, like I said, with curiosity and see where it goes.
So for listeners, if they're interested in your interior design services, what is the best way to reach you?
We do all of our intake on the website, www.sagradastudio.com. If you hit the contact page, you can send an inquiry and we get back to them within 48 hours. But right now, there's not really anything that we can do for anyone new until next year. So just know that.
I agree. I'm working on a kitchen right now for 2024.
Yeah.
This year is done.
Yeah, this year is done.
But that's a great place to be in business.
I think it is. And I appreciate when people understand that this process takes time. So, you know, I posted this really funny meme I found this morning, or it's like a reel, and it's like clients in September who want their stuff done by November, and it's Whitney Houston and Brandy singing Impossible. Because it is impossible. I can't even do one room in 3 months, you know?
And it would be a disservice to the design. You'd be like, I want to give you good work, and I want you to love it. And like, that would just not be a pretty process.
Yeah, exactly. And like, what's the urgency? Why the urgency? It's just fake urgency.
Right. Then we just need to stop and slow down. Like, what's really going on?
What's really going on? You know, because there's never real design emergencies unless the pipe burst or something and there's water or something like that, you know, but otherwise, what's the real emergency? I'm not sure.
Well, again, I hope you really enjoyed that conversation. Like I said, for me, listening to it again this morning, it definitely was the Monday motivation I needed to keep going with my day. And I thought you might feel the same way. Also, just I want to remind everybody, Hema actually has a new collection. It is in collaboration with Architectural Digest and Ruggable. Please check out her rug designs. They are incredible and they are also washable, which I am all about right now. Whatever can look good in my house, but I can wash. When you have two kids, including a toddler, I'm like, sign me up. So definitely check out the shoppable mood board. I have a link to one of the rugs from her collection. And let's hope, you know, maybe there will be a TV show in store for Hema as well as we watch what's going to progress with her career in 2024. So please remember to share with your friends and family. Shop the mood board at angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. Remember to please stay safe out there. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.